that favorable. 2016 has not necessarily been as equally good for all of us. For some, it's been a tragic year. Even when we consider whatever side you might be on tonight, we consider politics. For many, it has not been the outcome favorable. But here I can hear God saying, "You asked for Saul, and I'll give you Saul so that you might desire David." We'll be all right. We'll be all right. For some of you, like Drake said, "I've been down so long, it looks like up to me. I got fake friends." I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go there. Just this phone kind of caught my spirit. But you made it. I want to invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 27. And this message is for all of you who have been challenged in 2016. And I want you to look up with hope and aspiration. But I want you to look at the illumination of God's Word that gives through His Spirit inspiration. Acts chapter 27, beginning at verse 39, we read these words. "When it was day, they did not recognize the land. But they observed a bay with a beach, onto which they planned to run the ship, if possible. But they let go of the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile losing the rudder ropes. And they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose." Somebody look at your neighbor and say, "I've been kept." "And that centurion, Julius, commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land." How many swimmers do we have here? "Those who could swim abandoned ship. And the rest, those who could not swim, some were on boards, some were on parts or pieces of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Some could swim, but the rest were on boards and pieces of the ship. Some could swim, then at others or could not, but they were on boards and pieces of the ship. But the good news in the narrative is this: but they all escaped safely." I want to talk to you for a while on the subject, "I made it on broken pieces, but I made it." Tap your neighbor and say, "I made it on broken pieces. But thank God I made it." A puzzle is an uneven portrait comprised of uneven pieces. There are three laws of a puzzle. Stay with me, church. The first law is whoever made the puzzle designer, did not start with the pieces, but started with a complete portrait in mind. Then the puzzle, in the hands of the puzzle maker, was taken from the portrait and cut into pieces. Our role and goal is to get the pieces back into the image of the portrait. That's law number one. Law number two of the puzzle is there aren't any extra pieces. No matter how crazy it looks, whatever is needed, it's already there. Some of y'all are with me. Law number three of the puzzle. Every uneven piece fits. And the only reason why it does not fit is because you got it in the wrong place. I feel like preaching tonight. You cannot force the piece to go in where it does not belong. And church, if you attempted to cut the piece of the puzzle to make it fit, it'll have a domino effect on the rest of the puzzle. Not only that, but the beauty of the puzzle that was created by the designer's intent is now distorted. But here's the resolution. You cannot take one piece of the puzzle out and throw it away, because then it's an incomplete portrait. Listen to me carefully, church. God begins with your life as a total portrait, but then he cuts it up into pieces. Unfit pieces. Sometimes asymmetrical or non-symmetrical pieces, uneven pieces, and he hangs them to you one day at a time and says, now put it back together again. God is not only confirming, but he is conforming your life, even when it seems like your life doesn't make any sense at all. That's why we can rejoice when we read Romans 8 and 28. And it says, and we know all things, our peace, works together for good to a designated group of people. To those who love God, that's A. And B, to those who are the call, any call folk in here? According to his purpose. The master puzzle designer. Let's take a look at the text. Dr. Luke, the penman in his narratives, writing in the cloak of ambiguity and yet in the shadows of humility. He begins by reminding us the status of the Apostle Paul, a prisoner. And he's delivered into the hands of the Roman centurion, or guard, if you will, Julius. Julius chooses an Alexandrian ship homeward bound on a route that's scheduled for various ports on the western seacoast of the province of Asia Minor. And it was there when they came to Adrithemum, located on the south of Troas and east of Assos, and facing the interior island of Lesbos, that Paul was on his way to Rome to be tried for simply being a Christian. I wonder, is there enough evidence in your life of being a Christian that you could be held on trial for it and be convicted? During the Apostle Paul's ministry in chains, he successfully maneuvered around ambush
He's maneuvered around mob and gang attacks. He's maneuvered around scourgings and stonings. But just as it seems, when he's home free, Paul faces the greatest challenge of his life, a storm at sea. How many of y'all know that there's some things we have absolutely no control over? And storms in nature is just one of those things. Interesting enough, the last port that Paul and this ship and this vessel, they harbored in was a place called Fair Haven of Corta. Some 475 miles northeast of where they are now in this storm. Isn't it interesting in life that just before there's raging seas, there's always a fair haven? It's when everything is going well. You got a job, you've got money, never have as much as we would like, but you got money, you can do some things. You got great health, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a hurricane. The sailors call it the Euclidon. It's a northeaster. And yet we realize when we look at this same chapter, there are 276 souls that are on board. Mariners, soldiers. Some are prisoners, and those in this company, many of them are even Christians. Now let me say this, body of Christ. This passage and this sermon really is for mature Christians. And if you don't fit in that category, you can leave before I continue. Here's the reason why this passage teaches us that even though you may be a Christian, you're still not exempt from storms. Did y'all hear what I said? A great sign that you are maturing as a Christian and that you are growing in Christ is that you realize that it is God who's not only in control of the storm, but it's a sovereign God who arranges the storm. That's a maturing Christian realizes that. A maturing Christian understands the prophet Amos when he says in 3 and 6, when disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? A maturing Christian understands in the trials of life the words of Job in Job 2 and 10 when he spoke to his wife and said, "You speak as one of the foolish, immature, unwise women. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" This wasn't Paul's first experience of being shipwrecked and lost at sea. This was his third time. And may I remind you that he is an apostle of Christ, doing the will and the works of the Lord, and he's stranded at sea. Not only that, but when he finally made it to land, if I could skip ahead to Malta, when he finally got there and wanted to warm up because he was wet, soaking wet from the sea, and he was gathering sticks to make a fire, a venomous snake bit him and fastened himself with his fangs to his arm. And God spared his life. I'm talking about a Christian now. You see, we like the theory of our theology, but we don't like the testing of our faith. You see, we love passages like Mark 16, 17, and these signs shall follow them who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, but yet we're afraid of devils. We believe in the theory of the theology, but we don't like our faith to be tested. We love the passage that says in Mark 16, and they shall speak with new tongues, but we don't want to surrender our old tongue to the Lord. See, that's what I'm talking about. I say this for maturing Christians. We love the part where it says, and they shall take up serpents, but we're not only afraid of snakes, but we're afraid of slithering co-workers. We love when it says they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover, but you don't want to be around sick folk. if Paul had not gone through this storm, we would not be reading of this testimony. Let me talk to some growing saints. I think there's some back here. God does his best work in storms. Have I got at least one witness? I heard these are the North Raleigh people. Let me go to South Raleigh. Who done had their lights cut off before? The gas. You know what I'm talking about? Eviction notice. You got your cable line running through your neighbor's window. God does his best work in storms. The text says in Job, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. You read the text, New Testament. Then Peter saw Jesus in the storm. You can't experience God's saving grace without him coming to save you out of a storm. You can't see the salvation of the Lord if you ain't got nothing to be saved from. You can't witness God having power over a storm if you're not in a storm. You'll never learn how to walk on water if you're not in the ship in the middle of your designated storm. Only immature Christians walk around talking about binding the devil. Every time a storm comes their way, they're binding the devil. They're binding the wind. They're binding the rain. They're binding everybody that gives them any type of trouble whatsoever. It's because immature Christians have a difficult time recognizing who's the deliverer out of the difficulties because they don't recognize who delivered the difficulties. I'm about to go hard in the paint. I don't know if y'all going with me or not. Well, immature Christians are the ones that are always giving credit to the devil when in difficulties. When you are maturing, you understand what Paul said to the Corinthians, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. You understand that? Every piece of God's puzzle, it works together. When God is at work in it and you allow him to work in it. But this was the perfect storm. You know, church, I'm a witness this. Sometimes you can't recognize what God is doing in the storm. Sometimes our vision gets distorted. Verse 39 says, when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they did observe a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. You see, when you're in a storm all night long, has anybody ever been there? When you're in a storm all night long, night is not just 12 hours, it's a season of darkness. When you're in a storm all night long, you can't wait for the breaking of day. I wish I had a witness in here. But sometimes when you've been in blue darkness, you ever been there? For so long, and sometimes when you've been in these tempestuous storms for so long, and sometimes when you've been lost in the middle of the sea so long, and sometimes when your ship is falling apart, listen to me, when you finally see the breaking of day and you see land, you can't recognize what it is. You see the outline, but you don't see the end field. You see the framework, but you don't see the details that God is working in this picture. In other words, when we put a puzzle together, we take oftentimes the corner pieces and find the straight edge pieces and bring them around, but the most difficult part is filling in the middle. Y'all got it now? You see, when we've been down for so long and it's been in so much darkness in our life and we've been tossed to and fro by the waves of the sea, it's hard to see what God is doing in the future. I know it's laying out there. I can vaguely see it, but I can't tell exactly where it is and what it is. Let me put my foot down on this and on the brake for a minute. Dr. Luke said it this way. He said, although they didn't recognize the land, but this is what they did observe. They observed a bay with a beach unto which they planned to run the ship if possible. Sometimes when you can't get to the final destination, you just try to find a beach. Did y'all hear that? Sometimes when you can't get to where you really want to be. I know you want a master's degree, but as the comedian said, at least get your GED. Sometimes you can't see complete healing, but just take one step at a time. If you can't find the entire island, just find a small beach and there run your ship aground. We're here right now. We're right here right now. Y'all know, as Paul says, it's not that I am perfect or I am complete, but right now I got my ship just stuck on the sandy beach and I'm waiting for Jesus to finally deliver me. But it's interesting that while they ran the ship into this beach, verse 40 saying, they let the go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, losing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. They let the anchors go. They had to cut, not the anchors, they had to cut the anchors loose. It didn't make sense. The wind is blowing and the waves are kicking you from side to side. The one thing that is keeping you in that place are anchors. Two on the front and two on the rear. And you're going to take out a knife and cut loose that thing that is keeping you securely in that place. But let me say this, we'll move on. Sometimes you have to cut your anchors loose because although they give you stability where you are, but they don't allow you to move forward. Tap your neighbor and say, you've been there too long. It's time to cut it loose. It may not make sense, but there's some anchors in your life that you need to lose, even tonight. There's some things that are keeping you from sinking, and they have kept you from sinking. There's some people in your life, they have kept you from sinking, but because they're in your life, they won't allow you to advance. There's some places in life we have just gotten comfortable, but it is not where God wants us anymore. That was good 6 years ago. But where are you now? Let me make it plain. There were some things good for you then, but it ain't good for you now. Sometimes we try to even help people to save people. We want to be their anchor ropes. But as long as we're trying to save them, they will never learn how to swim. And if they never learn how to swim, they'll never experience the grace of God for salvation. It's because we have become their salvation. Meanwhile, losing not only the anchors, but the rudder ropes. When they let go of the anchors, they let go of the rudder ropes. So now you got a ship that's out of control. You have no way to guide the ship. So what they did is they hoisted the mainsail. Somebody say, to the wind. Sometimes in life it seems like your ship is just going haywire. You have absolutely no control of it. It's one of the most fearful times in your life if you want to admit it. And yet at the same time, you have no control over it. And you say, God, I'm going to hoist the sail to the wind. I'm going to put it in your hands. I'm going to hoist the sail to the wind. I can't do anything, but I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to hoist the sail to the wind. I can't guide it anymore because the seas are too rugged and the winds are too boisterous, but I'm going to hoist it to the wind and I'm going to give it to you, Lord. Before I crossed over in 2017, Lord, I'm going to hoist it to the wind. I've been trying to control my kids, but they are out of control. I got to give them up. I got to cut them loose, my friends. That bank account, I'm holding on. I'm just building a stockpile. Never enjoyed it, never give it away. Got to cut it loose. False sense of security. You know, oftentimes I read the commentaries on this passage and Seems like most of the commentators, for whatever reason, they eisegete the text and they take this section away from the rest of the body or the context. They come up with these thematic sayings like, stay with the ship. Don't jump overboard. And that ain't what I read in the text when I kept on reading. I tap your neighbor, say, every now and then, you got to abandon ship. Because sometimes it's the thing that you think is saving you is the thing that will kill you. Some of y'all trying to save something that ain't worth saving. You got a relationship that's killing you. You done lost your God-given identity because of this person in your life. And you're fighting because you want to maintain an institution, but you don't even know who you are in the institution. The institution is designed to protect the people, and you're trying to protect the institution, but you lost your life in the process. You're trying to save a job because you want to maintain a certain level of income for a certain lifestyle, but you're miserable in it. I'm going to stay here. I ain't got 4 more years. I'm going to retire. In 18 months before your 30-year retirement, they're going to cut you loose, give you 2 weeks severance pay, and send you out the door. You're trying to save a ship that ain't worth saving. Sometimes even in church, we're trying to save church folk that ain't worth saving. I'm going to go on and say it. God has referred to the church as a bride, a woman. But every healthy woman has a cycle. And every 28 days or so, she's on her cycle. And she has to get rid of that which is no good for her. I know it may not, but it's life. It's God-given. In order for her to be healthy. If she don't get rid of it, she won't be healthy. The church is the bride of Christ. She's on a cycle. You got to let her do what she do. Don't be afraid of people leaving. Some of you here, you're not a part of this church, whatever church you're in. Don't try to hold people back. Let them go. Some of y'all got friends. Everything in this lifetime is meant for a season. Even if you live to be 150 years old down here, it was just a short season in comparison to eternity. You've got to let this life go in order to receive the greater life. Look over your neighbor and say, it might be time to abandon ship. But striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the prows stuck fast and remained unmovable. Have you ever been there? But the stern, the rear of the ship was being broken up by the violence of the waves. Tore the ship all to pieces. But the stern of the ship was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers wanting to kill the prisoners because they didn't want any escape because their lives would be required. But the centurion, Julius, had a heart for Paul. Tap somebody and says, God gave somebody a heart for me. Isn't it good to have that kind of friend? Yeah, I'm going to say it again. Isn't it good to have that kind of friend? A good friend is not only a friend when your life is going well, but a good friend is your friend when your life is shipwrecked. You hear what I said? Not just friends to us, but us friends to others as well. See, a good friend is not just a friend of Pastor Kelvin D. Redman when I'm pastor. Because some days I don't feel quite pastoral. And when I don't feel good pastoral, isn't it good to have a good friend? Everybody needs a Julius in their life. Amen. And you need to learn how, and we need to learn how to be a Julius to somebody else. When we're in Fairhaven, it's great. Let's eat the fruit. Let's eat of the grape. Drink of the vine. But then there comes times, because if you look at the text, they're here at this place, and Paul told them not to sail in the first place. Sometimes we're in situations not because we made a decision to be there, but because somebody else made it for us, and we ain't got no other choice because we're on the same ship. He told those who could jump over and get to land, swim, get out. But then there are others, he said, and the rest of you just get the boards, some parts of the ship. Hold on to them. Isn't it interesting that some of us want to throw the pieces of our ship away when it's falling apart? Some of us want to throw away pieces of the puzzle when we can't make it fit. You know what I found is oftentimes when our ship falls apart, God will hand you a piece of that ship, just a piece of it, and say, hang on to it. Y'all heard what I said? Some of us, we've had to deal with substance abuse. And you keep wondering, why this friend that I used to hang out with, that is still doing drugs, or still an alcoholic, keeps coming around, and God say, hang on to that piece of the ship. Because not only, listen, had this piece of the ship remind you of where I brought you from, but you might be able to take this piece of ship, because if you got that piece of the ship in your hand, when you get to land, the piece of the ship goes with you. Oftentimes we're only concerned about saving ourselves, but we're not concerned about saving anybody else. And you ain't done nothing great if you make it to land by yourself and didn't take anybody with you. Sometimes we want to throw our testimony away, that piece of the ship. We want to throw that testimony about abortion away. You can't tell it to everybody, but you need to hang on to that piece of the ship. You've done a little time. It's all right. You've done the time. You don't want anybody to know. You better hang on to that piece of the ship. God says, take that piece of the ship, because you can help somebody else. That is your testimony. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes God will destroy your ship, but he'll give you a piece of that ship, not only to remind you of what he's brought you through, but also so that you can continue to give him thanks for what he's delivered you from. I'm reminded that God is always is the master puzzle designer, taking pieces of our puzzle. He's always taking these pieces, and one day at a time, he's putting them back together again, even when we can't see them. But now, church, I can see the pieces coming together. I don't know about you, but I can see the pieces coming together. I can hear the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43 saying, but now thus said the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. But notice what he didn't say. He didn't say you were not going to go through the waters. He didn't say that you weren't going to have to walk through the fire. He said you're going to have to swim some water. You're going to have to tread some water. You've got to hold on to what you got. But I will bring you through the other side. The question is, are you willing to trust me? I can see the pieces coming together now, church. I'm reminded of Tremaine Hawkins' song she used to sing, and probably every choir used to sing when I was growing up. But it went as something like this. In case you have fallen by the wayside of life, dreams and visions shattered, you're all broken inside. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. Here's the reason why. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you. In case your situation has turned upside down. And all that you've accomplished is now on the ground. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you one piece at a time back together again. You made it on broken pieces, but you made it. Father God, tonight, O Lord, we commit our lives to you. We thank you, O Father, for within the next minute, O Father, by your grace, you will allow us to step over to a new year. Lord, to another dispensation, another, O Father, era of time. You will give us new experiences. God, we realize there's going to be trials. But greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. God, I pray tonight if there's someone here that may not know Christ, that tonight they will open up their hearts and they would trust him. That tonight they say, I won't leave this church the way I came in. I won't, the way I came in 2016 without Christ, I'll leave today determined to know Christ as my Lord and Savior in 2017. And if you're that person, the person in here, will you raise your hand right where you are and say, tonight, right from my seat, with my head bowed, I raise my heart and I raise my hand to the Lord to accept him as my Lord and Savior. God bless you. I see that hand here. I see that hand back there. God bless you. I see that hand over here. I refuse to leave like I came in. God bless you. I see you. I see you. God sees your heart. God bless you. He sees your hand. He sees those hands back there. Father God, we give you thanks. Not only the hearts and the hands have been raised to trust Christ as Savior, but Lord, I pray that all of our hearts are lifted, O Father, to make Jesus Lord over everything. God, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's rejoice. Let's rejoice.
We lift our voice to bless you. We lift our hands to reach you. We lift our hearts to love you. Holy is your wonder. We present our bodies, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. We love you.
We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you.
It's 2017. Come on, lift our voice.
Lift our voice.
Holy,
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 holy.
voice of blessing. We lift our hands.